WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Advocates in Harrisonburg hold a vigil in support of DACA. Charlottesville police remove unauthorized equipment apparently set up to catch vandals near a controversial Confederate statue. And some Shenandoah Valley opponents of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline lend support to tree sitters blocking the Mountain Valley Pipeline near Roanoke. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, November 12th. Advocates in Harrisonburg held a vigil Monday night in support of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, that Obama-era program is now being challenged in the Supreme Court. WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
Conga drums pounded and candles lit up the lawn outside of Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church as several dozen people showed up to support DACA. The Obama-era policy protects immigrants known as Dreamers who came to the U.S. as children without documentation. President Trump attempted to end the program in 2017, and the Supreme Court will take up the case for the first time today.
We have a lot of DACA recipients here in Harrisonburg. We have a very large Latino population. It's not just Latinos who have DACA. We have South Korea recipients as well, and a few other people from Guatemala, etc.
That's Veronica Alberto, a spokesperson with the Shenandoah Valley chapter of Virginia Organizing, and a Dreamer herself. There are an estimated 700,000 Dreamers nationwide, according to the Center for American Progress. If the court sides with the Trump administration, those protected by DACA would be at risk of being deported.
That's not even counting the children that they have. You know, if anything were to happen to those 700,000, there are about 250,000 kids that would be without parents.
As the main goal was to spread awareness about DACA, the crowd was prompted to call Senator Mark Warner's office all at once to express their support. The Supreme Court is expected to rule on the case in 2020. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
Charlottesville police have removed unauthorized equipment apparently set up to catch vandals near a controversial Confederate statue. Police said Monday that neither the camera nor the homemade tripwire device belonged to police. Officers removed them soon after citizens reported their presence. Police said the equipment did not appear to present any threat. Social media posts showed what looked like a tripwire attached to a bell by the base of the statue of Confederate General Thomas Stonewall Jackson. The statues have become the frequent target of vandalism in recent months. We're learning more about voter turnout in last week's election. According to numbers from the Virginia Public Access Project, nearly 40% of registered voters came to the polls last Tuesday. That's a record for an off-year election in Virginia, but those numbers vary across the state. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has more.
The highest rates of turnout were almost all in central Virginia. In some of the races in the Richmond suburbs, turnout hit almost 60%. The lowest rates were spread throughout the state, but they all had something in common, an uncontested race.
It's hard to get a Republican to run in Arlington, and it's hard to get a Democrat to run in Southwest and Southside Virginia.
Stephen Farnsworth is at the University of Mary Washington.
It takes a high level of commitment to citizenship to go out and cast a vote if there's only one name on the ballot.
Even still, the raw numbers astonished Alex Kina, a political scientist at Virginia Commonwealth University.
Population is growing, more people are registered, obviously, but the rise in votes outpaced population growth for sure.
One note, turnout rates are based on the number of registered voters, not eligible voters. And according to official numbers, Virginia has about a million fewer people registered to vote than are eligible. I'm Mallory Nopain.
Eastern Virginia Representative Elaine Luria announced last week that she supports impeaching the president. Now Luria has launched a new ad defending her position. It features comments she made at a town hall in Williamsburg.
And people might say, well, why would you do that? You might not get reelected. I don't care because I did the right thing.
Luria, a Democrat, defeated incumbent Republican Scott Taylor in Virginia's 2nd congressional district in last year's midterms. The 2nd district represents Virginia Beach and the Hampton Roads area and around Williamsburg. The GOP has launched its own ads against Luria and Representative Abigail Spanberger over their support for the impeachment inquiry. Spanberger has not yet said how she'll vote on impeachment. Wetlands go by many names, marshes, bogs, swamps, and bayous, but whatever they're called, the fact is more than half of Virginia's wetlands have been drained and developed since the first settlers arrived. But now some communities are reversing that trend. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman visited one wetland area in Waynesboro and filed this report.
Wetlands are useful places, providing habitat for birds and butterflies, frogs and snakes, while preventing floods, erosion, and water pollution after heavy rains. That's why Waynesboro decided to restore 10 acres in the middle of a city neighborhood. Trafford McCray is an engineer with the Department of Public Works.
What we did was we came in and we terraced several levels of wetland pools. So the water winds its way through those pools, which gives more time for pollution to settle out or for the vegetation to soak up nutrients.
Nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen, which run off roads, yards, and farm fields, had been flowing to the Chesapeake Bay, where they caused algae blooms and dead zones. Waynesboro also put in tall grass and other native plants.
Some cardinal flowers, irises, witch hazel, red-stemmed dogwood, cedars. There's some river birch sprinkled in through here.
You might expect neighbors to complain when a swamp replaced their manicured detention basin. In fact, McCray says most people like the wild look of the Mulberry Run wetland.
People can come out and enjoy being part of this ecosystem that is somewhat unique in an urban setting. We intentionally keep some paths mowed so that people can come out and walk.
The project took 3 years and cost $1.7 million, much of it provided by government grants and loans. In Waynesboro, I'm Sandy Houseman.
Finally today, the proposed Mountain Valley and Atlantic Coast pipelines are slated to carry natural gas from West Virginia through Virginia, and in the case of the Atlantic Coast pipeline, on into North Carolina. But construction has been halted or limited by legal challenges, and opposition to those projects remains strong among some residents. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee has this update.
A small crowd gathered in a chapel on the grounds of Trinity Episcopal Church in Stanton on one October afternoon. They sang not hymns, but protest songs. The event was hosted by the organization Beyond Extreme Energy, a network of activists that aims to raise awareness about the impacts of hydrofracking and other practices by fossil fuel industries. They came to Stanton as part of a road show, promoting their campaign to dissolve the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, and set up a Federal Renewable Energy Commission in its place. FERC is responsible for approving interstate infrastructure that transmits natural gas, oil, and electricity.
They are known to be a rubber stamp agency.
Kathy Strickler, a retiree turned climate activist from Harrisonburg, attended the event.
With approving all applicants except for two, in about the last 30 years. But two of the commissioners did not vote for approval of the ACP and MVP because they said they had concerns about the need and the environmental impacts.
Opponents of the pipeline cite accelerated climate change, health and safety risks, ecosystem destruction, and the abuse of eminent domain as reasons for their activism. Strickler is involved with a community group known by the acronym RAPTORS, which co-hosted the Stanton gathering. It stands for
the Rockingham Alliance for the Protection and Transformation of Our Resources and Society.
Josh Vanna has participated in RAPTORS since the group formed in 2016 in support of the resistance against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Now, the group focuses on the two new pipelines passing through Virginia.
Whether that's showing up to a state water control board meeting or an air pollution control board meeting in Richmond, or raising money to support direct action in Southwest Virginia, blocking construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline.
The direct action Vanna is referring to is the Yellowfinch tree sit in the path of the Mountain Valley Pipeline near Elliston, a small town just west of Roanoke. A tree sit is a civil disobedience tactic in which a protester lives on a platform elevated in the trees to impede construction efforts in that area. The Yellowfinch tree sit has now been continuously occupied for more than 400 days. RAPTORS held a fundraiser for the activists in January and is planning another for early 2020.
We had a fundraiser called Still Here, and it was to celebrate and support the direct resistance to the Mountain Valley Pipeline in Southwest Virginia, as well as West Virginia, the support that we raised either in cash donations or material goods have just been one little helping hand for our friends up in the trees and their trusty ground support.
The Atlantic Coast Pipeline will pass closer to home through Highland, Augusta, and Nelson counties. Stan Driver, who lives in Augusta County, attended the Beyond Extreme Energy event to stay up to date on the pipeline's progress and permitting struggles.
The pipeline is going to pass within about a half a mile of my house and run up the valley along the creek all the way to the mountain. It alarms me because I live right on Back Creek and near Shenando Lake. And I'm aware that if they do all this industrial drilling and the spoil that comes from that, it's going to sediment Back Creek. It'll probably wind up in Shenando Lake. It will deface the side of the mountain there in such a beautiful place where we all live.
As part of the roadshow, the activists screened a 15-minute video denouncing the relationship between FERC and the natural gas pipelines.
FERC allows tree clearing and construction to begin on homeowners' property before states issue legally required air and water quality permits.
The narrator in that clip is Andy Hins, who is traveling with Beyond Extreme Energy Roadshow. He spent most of his professional career working for FERC in the IT department.
The whole time I was working, I had in my mind that when I retired, I wanted to volunteer to do something about the environment. I just had the woke moment where it's like, you know, are we done? Is the earth gone? Once you come to that realization, it kind of consumes you because you're worried about every living thing on the planet.
Kathy Strickler had a similar epiphany when she and her husband Charlie assisted with relief efforts in Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina, and they began researching the connections between fossil fuels, climate change, and extreme weather events.
Then I started reading the science and understanding what was going on, and the facts of science are real, and we need to move on it. And so, yeah, it has become a mission.
The Stricklers traveled to Washington, D.C. in September to march in the global climate strikes.
We have spent a lot of time spinning our wheels because it's always the choir that comes. And that's why I'm so thrilled to see the young people finally starting to jump in. It's their future, not mine.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy Behake.
Learn more about this story at WMRA.org or with the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Tuesday.